Al-Bayan Radio presents the ASWJ Quarterly Seminar, The Gathering of the Month of Ramadan, Part 3, presented by Sheikh Muhammad Dua.
My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us our righteous actions and to allow us to enter the month of Ramadan and exit the month of Ramadan with our sins being forgiven. Tonight, bi-idhnillah, we are speaking about an important topic related to the month of Ramadan, and there's no doubt it is probably the most important link to the month of Ramadan, and that is the Quran and the recitation of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal in general and in specific in the month of Ramadan. And we were asked to speak about the virtues of reciting the Book of Allah, since Ramadan is the month of the Quran. It is the month where the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal was sent down. And it is the month where the righteous and the pious use up their time in reciting the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the month. Regarding the virtues of reciting the Quran, my brothers and sisters, there are many which have been mentioned throughout the Quran and the Sunnah, and we cannot mention all of them, but we will speak about some of them. There is no doubt that Allah Azza wa Jal honors the servant who recites his book, and it is from the greatest types of worships that a person can perform, especially in the month of Ramadan. When you read the lives of the Salaf, you will find that they, when it came to Ramadan, will stop everything just to focus on the Quran. Just like Imam Malik rahimahullah, it was narrated whenever Ramadan entered, he will stop learning hadith. He will stop his knowledge on hadith and only focus on reciting Quran in the month, in the blessed month. From the virtues of reciting Allah Azza wa Jal's book, and this teaches us the importance of learning how to read Quran, my brothers, for those and sisters, for those who do not know how to read the Quran, it is crucial that you learn by attending classes, lessons, finding a teacher who can teach you how to recite the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the translation of the meaning in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, indeed those who recite the book of Allah. So now Allah is talking about those who recite the Quran. He says, indeed those who recite the book of Allah and establish the prayer and spend in his cause. So he mentioned three things: reciting the Quran, praying, and giving charity in his course, in his cause, both in apparent and hidden, in secret, the charity in apparent and in secret. Allah Azza wa Jal says they can expect a prophet that will never perish. Look at this promise from Allah. A prophet, again, that will never perish. Continuous. This, my brothers and sisters, alone is enough of a virtue for reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that it will give you a reward that you do not know where it ends. It will never perish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So it is important, us as Muslims, that we have a strong relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we teach ourselves to be frequent in its recitation. And reciting the book of Allah azza wa jal, my brothers and sisters, is of two types. Keep in mind, there are two types of recitation, and we will explain what we mean by this. The first type of recitation is the physical recitation of the words using your mouth, meaning to recite the Quran as you do by reading it with your mouth. This is the first type of reciting, and this has its virtues. The virtues of reciting the Quran with your mouth are many, regardless if they are virtues regarding the entire Quran or specific suwar of the Quran or specific verses of the Quran. So there are virtues, my brothers and sisters, which speak about reciting in general the Quran. And then there are certain suwar where there is a specific virtue in reciting them. And there are also even verses that have a virtue in reciting them. For example, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The best of you are those who learn the Quran and those who teach it." This hadith, subhanAllah, it's a simple hadith, but if you pay attention to this virtue, it is a great virtue. And it's related to the one who recites the book of Allah, because it's either related to the one learning, who is reciting, or the teacher, who is reciting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you." So what does that mean? There is no better than these people. When Rasulullah sallallahu says, "Khayrukum," meaning the best of you, it means there's no one better. There's no one better than who? The one who learns the Quran and the one who teaches it. For subhanallah, such a great virtue. And these ahadith and verses, my brothers and sisters, should be an encouragement for us to strengthen our relationship with the book of Allah. No one can say they do enough. If we do not know how to read, we learn how to read. If we know how to read, we perfect our recitation. If we've perfected our recitation, we memorize. If we memorize, we revise our memorization. If we do that, then we go to the understanding. We learn the understanding of what we are reading. For knowledge never ends in Islam. And no person can say that they are doing enough. In another hadith, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The one who is proficient in reciting the Quran will be with the honorable upright angels," meaning the one who is fluent in reciting the book of Allah, his or her reward is what? That they will actually be with the honored angels. That's for the one who is able to recite the Quran properly, does not struggle. Someone might say, "Wow, that's excellent," and no doubt it is. Does that mean the one who struggles in reciting, my brothers and sisters, is of a lesser level? Absolutely not. Just to show you the beauty of our religion, how our deen encourages us to learn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "And the one who struggles in its recitation, the one who struggles in reciting the book of Allah receives double the reward." Look at Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy. He does not leave people out in the dark. It's not, wallah, as long as you can read, you're fine, and if you cannot read, otherwise people will not be motivated. If you are reading and struggling and making mistakes and trying to perfect your recitation and getting frustrated with yourself because you're making mistakes and your teacher's constantly correcting you on how to read and whatever else, don't feel bad. You still are achieving a reward, not only what, double the reward, because of your struggle. And wallahi, I think only Islam can provide such rewards for its followers, for those who struggle in practicing the deen. For reciting the Quran, my brothers and sisters, every person should be making an effort in doing so. And there's no doubt that the month of Ramadan is a perfect opportunity for us to strengthen that relationship with the Book of Allah. In whatever way it may be, everyone has the opportunity to strengthen their relationship with the Quran in Ramadan. It is not only those who know how to recite it, even those who do not know how to recite should use Ramadan to learn how to recite the Quran. So regardless of what your relationship is, whether it's learning or memorizing or perfecting or reciting or whatever else, the most important thing is that you actually have a relationship with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the one who abandons the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, is on a very serious path. In the hadith, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, the believer who recites the Quran is like an orange. Look at this example. The believer who recites the Quran, yani he's a mu'min or she's a mu'mina, and he recites the Quran. Prophet ﷺ said, is like an orange. He said, he smells good and he tastes good. The smell is nice and he has a sweet taste. That's the mu'min who recites the Quran. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believer who does not recite the Quran is like a date. Is like what? A date. He doesn't smell good because a date does not have a fragrance like an orange. He said, but he tastes good. He's sweet because he's still a mu'min. But he's less than an orange. He's not smelling good, but he tastes good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, and the munafiq, the hypocrite who recites the Quran, because there are hypocrites that recite the Quran, my brothers and sisters. There are. He said, the hypocrite that recites the Quran is like basil, meaning the smell is sweet, but the taste is bitter. His appearance from the outside is sweet. The recitation may be sweet, but the inside is sour. And that's nifaq. This is hypocrisy. He said, and the hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like a bitter apple. The hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like what? A bitter apple. He has no smell and no taste. If I look at this example, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. So my dear brothers, it's up to us. Do we want to be oranges or do we want to be dates? Inshallah, we're not from the other two. We ask Allah to protect us from all forms of hypocrisy. Huh? But we can either be an orange or we can be a date. In another hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated and said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah will receive one reward, a hasana. He said, and the hasana is multiplied by 10. This is to teach you the reward of reciting the Book of Allah. For every letter, you receive one hasana. And from Allah Azza wa Jal's generosity, the hasana is multiplied by 10. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, I do not say that alif lam mim is a letter, but rather alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. So by simply saying alif lam mim, that's 30 hasanat. So imagine reciting the Book of Allah continuously. The amount of rewards that you will receive. These are some ahadith regarding reciting the Quran in general. And then we mentioned there are certain virtues for reciting certain surah. Like for example, Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, as narrated in the hadith of Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'la radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran. So he called it what? The greatest surah in the Quran. And no one can argue with that. Surah Al-Fatiha, my brothers and sisters, is the greatest surah in the Quran. And that's why it has been made a pillar of the salah. From how great the surah is. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He said, it is the 7 oft repeated verses. He called it the 7 oft repeated verses because we are constantly repeating the Fatiha when we pray. He said, and it is the great Quran which was given to me. He called it the great Quran which was given to him. So there's no doubt reciting Surah Al-Fatiha has its virtues and its rewards since it is the greatest surah in the Quran. Also from the surah, my dear brothers and sisters, and they are many. There are many virtues for many different surah, but it is not the time to mention all of them. But we mention some of them. Also from them is reciting Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. Those two together. Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran, for on the Day of Judgment it will come as an intercessor for those who recite it. That's another virtue, my brothers and sisters. Imagine on the Day of Judgment, when people are in need of all the good that they can gain, imagine the Book of Allah interceding for you in front of Allah. Oh Allah, save Fulan and Fulana from hellfire, for they used to recite me. This is a virtue on its own. And if you do not recite the Book of Allah, you are deprived from this intercession. So that should be more of a reason to encourage us to learn how to read. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, recite the two bright ones. He said, recite the two bright ones, Az-Zahrawain. He called them the two bright ones, meaning Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. Why? He said, on the day of resurrection, they will come as two clouds. Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran will come as two clouds or two shades, pleading. What does pleading mean? Begging for those who recited them. Allahu Akbar. They will specifically be interceding for you. Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. And Surah Al-Baqarah has its virtues, more virtues when it is also recited. Because Surah Al-Baqarah has the greatest verse in the Quran. Remember, the Fatiha is the greatest surah. The greatest verse is what? Ayatul Kursi. There's no doubt about that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called it the greatest verse in the Quran. And that is why Surah Al-Baqarah is so special. For that reason and others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no devil enters a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. This, my brothers and sisters, teaches us that in order to keep the devils away from our house, we should have Surah Al-Baqarah recited in our houses frequently. And reciting it yourself is better than playing a cassette or a video or whatever else. Even though there's good in that, no doubt. But for you to recite it yourself is best. For this shows you the virtue of the Baqarah. That it keeps away the devils. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith, he said, recite Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? He said, because taking it, taking Surah Al-Baqarah is a blessing. It is barakah. Taking Surah Al-Baqarah is a blessing. He said, and giving it up is a cause of grief. Abandoning, leaving Surah Al-Baqarah will cause you grief. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And then he said, and the magicians cannot confront it. And that is true. The magicians cannot confront Surah Al-Baqarah. It's too powerful for them. And that's why from the greatest suwar, which are used as a ruqya from jinn or evil eye or anything else, is Surah Al-Baqarah. There's no doubt about that. Also from the suwar, my brothers and sisters, is Surah Al-Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one in whose hands my soul is in, meaning by Allah, it is equivalent to how much? 1/3 of the Quran. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad, that short surah is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran. And the reason why it is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran, my brothers and sisters, is because, as the ulama mentioned, the Quran is made up of three parts. It is made up of Tawheed, and it is made up of ahkam, laws, halal and haram, and it is made up of previous nations, stories of the previous nations. And because Surah Al-Ikhlas is all Tawheed, it made up one of those three parts. And that is why it is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran. Also, the last two surahs of the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, would you like to know of verses revealed where there are no verses like them? He said there are no verses like them. And then he said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. It is good, my brothers and sisters, to try and find the verses and the suwar which have their virtues. But it is also important to remember that the Qur'an in its entirety is a virtue. And reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal completely has its rewards. And the month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an, as we mentioned. For this is the first type of recitation, which is the physical reciting of the book of Allah with your mouth. The second type of recitation is what the ulama call in Arabic at-tilawa al-hukmiyya, which is the recitation of the laws of the Qur'an. And what the ulama mean by this is basically to implement the laws of the Qur'an in your life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is as important, if not more important, than the first type of reciting. The reciting of its laws, by implementing them in your lives. Why is this important? Because our religion, my brothers and sisters, is built on applying the laws of Allah that you learn on yourself. And that's what makes you a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. Allah commands us to have obedience to them. He then says, and if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger if you indeed believe in Allah and the last day. And that is reciting its laws, by referring everything back to Allah, to His laws, and applying them in your life. This is what makes you a Muslim. Because it is useless, my dear brothers and sisters, to recite the Quran on your tongue if you are not reciting its laws in your heart. And you are not allowing the laws of Allah to be implemented in your life. Because many people today and from the past, as we mentioned, were very fluent and are very fluent in reciting the Quran on their tongues. But when it comes to implementing, there is no implementation. There is no deen. There is no sami'na wa ata'na. And that was actually one of the characteristics that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave about the Khawarij. When he spoke about the Khawarij, he described them as being people who recite the Quran. He said, but it does not pass their throats. And that's because they are not implementing its laws correctly. And this is why it is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, that when we learn the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, we apply them and we implement them in our lives. And this is the most important type of tilawa, the most important type of recitation. And that is why it has been narrated from some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that it took them such and such amount of years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, for example. Why? Because they will memorize 10 verses and they will not move on to the next 10 until they have implemented those 10 in their lives. This is what it means to be a person of the Qur'an. A person of the Qur'an is not someone who only recites it on the tongue. This means nothing if the Qur'an is not implemented in your lives. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, you give your ear to hear what Allah is going to command you with so that you implement it in your life. When Allah says, do this, we implement. When He says, stay away from this, we stay away from it. And to return our affairs back to Allah Azza wa Jal's book, always. Not when I have a dispute with a person, I take it to a legislation other than Allah's. This is not being from the people of Quran. This is being something else, wal-iyadu billah. Allah says it, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. If you differ on a matter, return it back to Allah and His Messenger. How many people today, my brothers and sisters, when the ruling, the judgment given to them from Allah does not please their desires, they will go somewhere else. Whether they go to the non-Islamic court systems or whatever else. Where is the deen? Where is implementing the religion in your practice? And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, it is important for us to have adab and manners when it comes to reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Islam is a religion of manners, and there is manners for many actions that you do. And reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, when you sit down to recite the Quran, as many of us, and hopefully inshallah all of us, we'll be doing, especially in the month of Ramadan, it is important that we perform the correct manners when we are sitting down reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we will go through some very quickly, briefly. From them, first and foremost, is sincerity. The first and foremost important manner or etiquette when it comes to reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is al-ikhlas. Just as it is for any other type of worship. Because we all know the first three people who Allah ignites the hellfire with. One of them was the reciter who recited for fame. So when a person recites the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from the adab, the manners, that he does so sincerely. For the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. The second is to recite the Quran on purification, with tahara. Even though there's a difference of an opinion, do you have to or do you not have to? All the scholars agree that it's better. All the scholars agree it is better. That when you recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to understand you are reciting the book of the Lord of the heavens. So you must have manners in doing so. And it is from the manners that you recite with purity, in a state of purification. Also, from the manners of reciting the Quran, my brothers and sisters, is to use the siwak when you recite. Because you are using your mouth to recite the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is a great thing that you fragrance your mouth when reciting the words of the Lord. And that is why there is a hadith found in Al-Bazzar, which Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah graded as Hasan Sahih, where he said, in the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if the servant uses the siwak, if the servant uses the siwak and then stands to pray, meaning he's reciting the Quran in his salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an angel will stand behind him. Listen to this. The angel comes to listen to your tilawa, to listen to your recitation. The angel stands behind him and listens to his recitation. So imagine the angel standing behind you, listening to you reciting the book of Allah. It doesn't stop there, but the Prophet ﷺ said that this angel then continues to get closer to you until he places his mouth on your mouth. The angel. He places his mouth on the one reciting the Quran's mouth. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and whatever exits from his mouth, meaning from the words of Allah, enters into the angel. The Prophet ﷺ said, so purify your mouths for the Quran. And that is why it is a good action to purify your mouth when reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is also from the manners, my brothers and sisters, that you seek refuge with Allah from shaitan when you begin your recitation. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the meaning, and if you recite the Quran, then seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, before you recite, as this is something Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded. And from the final or the last etiquette that we have with us regarding reciting the book of Allah is that if you become tired while you are reciting, to stop and to go to sleep. If you are tired, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you stand to pray and recite the Quran and do not know what you are saying, then lay down. Meaning, if it's causing you not to concentrate, it's better to close the book and lie down until you re-energize yourself. This was the advice of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow Ramadan to be a month for our cleansing and a month for our sins to be forgiven, and we ask Allah to accept our deeds in the blessed month. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.